Thanks for being willing to do this, Monica.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. Now, you're one of the few people who have been on multiple times, and in this case, some of the things we're going to talk about will overlap with the first time that we were together, but in that same vein, I like to start with reminding people what brings our guest to the Hamilton community. I know you explained that once before, but do you want to remind us a little bit about how we happened to get Monica Enzer as part of the Hamilton community?
Sure. First, let me just say thanks for bringing me back. I like being a frequent flyer and on a topic that is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
One of the things about being here 20 years is that you forget, because every day is like a year.
Sure.
On a college campus. And so I don't remember what I said. I might repeat my answers from last time, so it's good.
Yeah.
It's good that enough time's gone by.
Agreed.
Speaking of enough time going by, 20 years ago, my life was changed by coming to Hamilton. I'm going to try not to get emotional about that.
Sure.
But I was working as a dean at a college in New England, a dean of admission, and the search firm called me and said, "Do you think you might be interested in this job?" And at the time, I had a 2-year-old, and my husband and I were pretty happily entrenched in our jobs in New England. We were big New England sports fans.
Yeah.
But I grew up in this area, had and have family here. And I said to my husband, "Funny thing, Hamilton called, or the search firm called about Hamilton. What do you think?" And he said, "I think we should go for it."
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay, well, then I'll never get it." But I was lucky enough to be offered the job, and I thank Joan Stewart in the spirit of gratitude for giving me that opportunity and invitation to come to Hamilton and be its dean of admission. And we've had a great 20 years, and it's been the honor truly of my lifetime.
Yeah, well, that's, now you're going to choke me up. I've been curious. So you're still young, for the record, for sure. But you were a very
relative, but okay, thank you.
But you were a very young dean and transitioned eventually to be an official full-fledged VP, but you always reported to the president, right?
At Hamilton?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was a director of admission at 29 years old.
Wow.
At Worcester Polytechnic Institute. And that was being in the right place at the right time. And then a few years later, I was dean of admission and student financial services at Babson, and I was young in those jobs. By the time I got to this job, I'm not sure I felt as young.
Okay.
But I was an experienced leader.
Sure.
And I was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And for this job in particular, it was the attraction of returning to home and near family. It was a career move, but it was a life move. It was Hamilton, of course, but it was returning to the liberal arts,
which
feed my soul. So I went to a liberal arts college, and I love colleges, so working in an engineering school and a business school was fun. I learned a lot of different things, but then to be able to apply those skills and thinking a little differently than everybody else that's in the liberal arts college lane, I think helped me be successful, maybe hopefully be attractive to the college. So yes, coming to Hamilton was my third time being a director or a dean, but my first time reporting to a president. That was a long answer to your question.
No, it's a good answer. Yeah. That's what I appreciate that. So, and was there a point in your life where you kind of, this level of position, you knew it was the goal, or did it just kind of happen over time?
I would say admissions just happened to me. It was like a happy accident. I didn't really know what I was going to do with my liberal arts college degree and my English major, but I went to Skidmore, and I was a college athlete. I was recruited for soccer. I never stepped foot in an admission office. My parents hadn't gone to college, and I was so proud and happy to have had the experience. And so I was in the gym working my work study job, and families came along and were asking for various things, just like we're seeing today here in this facility as tours come through. And the dean of admission saw me and came over and said, "Are you a tour guide for us?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, do you want to be a tour guide?" I was like, "Oh no, I'm a jock. I don't do that."
Yeah.
And but I wanted to stay in Saratoga Springs for the summer, and I remembered that interaction, so I went over and knocked on his door, and he said, "Well, you have to apply." And I somehow was lucky enough to be a tour guide, and then it took from there. So it happened to me that I thought, gosh, this is fun, talking about education. I always thought I'd end up in the business world, maybe doing sales or something, but I didn't really want to sell my soul. I wanted to do something mission-driven that I believed in, and I found admissions to be that thing. And what better than to be able to promote education? So it happened to me and the career path too. I spent a little time in fundraising and a little time as a director of financial aid at a boarding school, and all these little experiences shaped who I am now. But I never said, I want to be a dean or I want to be a VP. That happens. Sometimes I wish I could go backwards a little bit and say, I don't want to be the VP. I just want to go back and do that fun job. But sure, actually, being a VP is pretty fun, and managing lots of other people on their own career paths as well.
Sure. So we've been here about the same amount of time. And as you said, every day sometimes feels like a year. And if you look at yesterday to today, it's hard to see a difference. But when you look back to where we started to today, the difference is pretty dramatic. When you started, we were an institution of about 1650.
Yeah.
Is that right?
1600 to 1650 total enrollment, yeah.
And now we're near 2000, yeah. Not entirely on purpose, but certainly some of it's been on purpose.
Yeah. A little bit more than 2000, that's right.
Yeah. And so what's that journey looked like for you? Like from your vantage point, the change in Hamilton from where you started to where you are today, what are some of the obvious key markers in your mind?
Ironically, the enrollment growth isn't one of them. It's something
interesting
that I know it impacts people in student affairs and, sure, and residential life, and it's significant. That felt natural, mm-hmm, from an admission point of view, because our applicant pool kept growing.
Yeah.
And we were getting more selective. So to be able to share Hamilton with more students, mm-hmm, because there was more interest, and as we were committed to ensuring a more diverse class and enrolling students from different backgrounds, geographically, physically, racially, ethnically, socioeconomically, sometimes you need to invite more people to join you to,
sure,
to have that type of robust and diverse experience. So it felt good from an admission point of view. Sometimes it was budget driven, sometimes it was by accident, sometimes it was incrementally growth. I remember when we were, I don't know what our enrollment was, probably 1750, and we were looking to add some students to, mm-hmm, our enrollment to increase the revenue to help pay for some of the things we wanted to do. Some trustee had the idea that we could be 1812.
I remember that. I remember that point in time.
For our 200th bicentennial,
yep,
in 2012. So we were founded in 1812 and trying to grow our enrollment by 8 students a year to get to 1812 in 2012. So that was kind of fun. Anyway, growing the enrollment was good to me because it was inviting more people to have this incredible experience. The markers for me were, well, there's so many, but the single best day of my career was the day that our trustees decided to become need blind for,
yes,
admission.
Agreed. So huge.
For the college to be in the room where it happened.
Yeah, I bet.
And it was spontaneous. It was generous. It was emotional. We went in talking about big ideas for the college. It was after the economy had tanked in, I think, 2009. And A.G. Laffley was the chairman of the board and said, okay, senior staff, President Stewart, come down to New York. And while every other college is trying to figure out how to operate in this, with these new rules and all these constraints of budget, what can we do to move the college forward? And we had presented a lot of ideas, many of which we've done since, but the idea I presented was to be need blind in admission, meaning we would admit the most qualified students who applied without considering their family's ability to pay and then meet 100% of their need. And we had quietly been looking, doing some back of the envelope, back of the napkin,
yep,
kind of math of what would this cost, who would we admit if finances weren't a factor, and then pulling back the curtain and pulling out students who needed financial aid, which always felt horrible,
sure,
replacing them with other very academically qualified,
sure,
students who weren't requiring aid, who weren't going to get admitted, and looking at what the cost was and the trade-offs. And so in that meeting, when we had some opportunity for the trustees to weigh in on it, many of them were saying, this is the thing.
Yeah.
Some of our peers are doing this. This stands for what Hamilton stands for. This is about access. Mm-hmm. We have always been a school of opportunity. Why haven't we done this? And they said, well, this is great. Clearly in the future, we will get to do this great thing. Maybe in our next strategic plan, we were getting ready to close the meeting. And I was pretty happy thinking maybe in my lifetime I'd,
yes,
see this. And trustee said, don't close the meeting. Hold on, Monica, how much would it cost to admit this next class need blind? It was December. We were getting ready to admit students early decision. And I said $500,000. And he said, I'll give it to you.
Wow.
Yeah. To which everyone was excited and applauded and thought that was kind of a cool moment. And I said, oh, that's great, but what are we going to do when they're sophomores?
Right. And for next year's class.
Exactly. And, yeah. So another hand went up and a trustee said, I'll give you $500,000. And another hand went up and said, I'll give you. And we got six $500,000 gifts in the span of about 90 seconds. And A.G. Laffley said, Monica, when are you admitting the class? I said, next week we're starting with early decision. He said, admit the best ones. Don't worry about how much they cost. We'll use this money as bridge funding. And we'll let it span over the next couple of years and raise the money to support this indefinitely. And in fact, we did. We gave ourselves about 18 months to raise the money in a really tight, short campaign to endow this. And we raised the money in about 12 months. The advancement office, the president, and lots of others. So that was a transformative moment for Hamilton. We had already met 100% need.
Yeah.
But it said, we're going to put a stake in the ground about access. And we care about being a community where everybody is here because they earned admission, not because they could pay.
Yeah.
And we're going to support them equally. And that was through financial aid, but in lots of other ways that have grown out of that since.
Yeah, agreed. And I know for someone who had no part in that, but still, as recently as today, I was interviewing a candidate for an open position we have in my area, and they said, you know, describe Hamilton students, or in this case, that was the question, but in other circumstances, it's, you know, why, what's kept you at Hamilton for so many years? And that moment and this policy is one of the first things I name even today.
I love hearing that.
Yeah, because it totally changed the student body. So from, you know, your perspective, it changed the process and the values and the ways that you went about it to some extent, probably the values lesser, but because I'm sure you always had those values to the degree that you could, but there was limitations that were changed. But I remember what our students looked like when I started as a student body as a whole, and it is different today. We're both first-generation college students. There are more of us first-generation college students here every year. There's a great crop that comes in. We have more students from all kinds of different lived experiences and backgrounds, and it's made Hamilton a better place as a result, and I'm really grateful.
Thank you. Me too. For the donors who made it happen.
Absolutely.
For Joan Stewart, who was the president, And it was not a coincidence that Joan Stewart was also first in her family to go to college.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And when Joan hired me, she and Stuart Scott, who was the chairman of the board at the time, sat me down, was getting ready to admit my first class. And I said, you know, I'm going to shape 25% of the student body. We're going to graduate students. I'm admitting my first class. What's important to us? Is it SAT scores, being more selective, winning in football, diversity?
Right.
You know, and their answer was, yes, it's all important. But what mattered most to Joan Stewart was diversity.
Yeah.
And always, first gen, financially, being generous with financial aid, racially, ethnically. At that time, we were 13% students of color.
Yep.
Nobody in the world was keeping track of first generation to college.
Right.
We were about half on aid. We had merit scholarships for people who didn't apply for aid, and we didn't have enough aid to admit all the students we wanted to who needed it. So it was a different time.
Sure.
So she cared a lot about that. She hired me, and knowing I was first gen and I cared and that my life was transformed by financial aid. So that was not a coincidence, and I'm so grateful she believed in me. And then the board became very passionate about this as well, maybe more than anything else during my time. And so I give lots of other people credit for this. And for all of the folks who have sustained it, who've made it important since. Your story, the faculty who say they love to teach our students, we attract the best faculty because of it, the advancement office who continues to raise money to support financial aid, and all the students who believe in it. There's a little patio on the front of the admission building out front that was given by the first graduating class that was admitted need blind. In the patio that says something like, given by the class of 2012, the first class admitted need blind to Hamilton. So, and this patio is given to the college so nobody will forget. Not that I would ever forget, but I stop at that little brick every now and again and think about how great it is to be at Hamilton.
Yeah, agreed. Oof, I could talk about that all day, but maybe we shouldn't.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, please.
I was a little worried when Joan retired.
Mm.
after 12 years, this president who believed in me, who brought me here, who gave me a platform for some of these things we were talking about in the college, cared about these things for the college. And I wasn't sure that I would stay beyond Joan Stewart's presidency. I thought maybe it was a good time for me to go someplace else, too.
I'm sure you could have.
Well, I, you know, remember, I grew up near here, and yeah, I loved course. This college. But when your boss turns over, it's a good time to think about what you're doing.
Of course.
I'm sure you've been there.
I've been there a time or two. Yeah.
And so I was thinking about it, and Steve Sadoff, who was another great chairman of the board, asked me to be on the search committee for the president.
Uh-huh.
And that helped me see a life beyond John Stewart.
Yeah.
John Stewart, too.
I mean, John Stewart's pretty awesome.
He's been
as well.
Here also.
That's true.
But it helped me see a life beyond Joan Stewart for Hamilton and for me. And not that I'm ever going to forget Joan. And
of course.
I still keep in touch with her. But being part of that search committee and getting rejuvenated by new leadership and different leadership was a great opportunity for me. And along came David Whitman, and I realized there is... Life goes on, and the college moves forward in new positive ways. And actually, in the interview, he came in and was one of our three finalists. And I said, I'm Monica Inzer. I work in admissions and financial aid. He said, I know who you are. How about need blind admission?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, let me tell you about it. I started talking, and I realized I'm supposed to be interviewing him.
Sure.
But he was masterfully, in the way that only David Whitman can, knowing exactly the right thing to say to the right person.
Sure.
It was great. And he made it very clear he intended to do absolutely no harm to that, to amplify it, and to do other things to support us, and he has made good on that, and it's been a pleasure to serve under David for the last 8 years.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I do want to ask you some questions about the future, but let me pause on this topic for a moment and change gears a little bit and talk about now. The impetus for our conversation is gratitude, and this is a good time of year to think about that, regardless of the bigger picture conversation. There's the annual process of preparing to bring in our next class and all the incredible work you and your team do to get to this point. So can you talk a bit about what's keeping you busy right now and what are the things that you're grateful for at the moment?
Well, we're always busy in admissions.
That's a good point.
People say, when's your downtime? And there really isn't one, because we're always recruiting students who will be here 2 years from now. In fact, tomorrow is a junior preview day on campus, and at the same time, we're celebrating the students we've admitted and
of course.
Hoping they will choose us. So, you know, the now is the thing that I hope never gets old for people who do what I do, which is inviting talented, smart, wonderful, interesting, quirky, creative, funny, imperfect students to join our community.
Sure.
And so after sifting through the thousands and thousands of applications this year, we admitted students last Wednesday, and they have until May 1st to choose us. And the admission and financial aid team are amazing under the umbrella of gratitude. Over 20 years, I've worked with amazing people. Many I've kept in touch with. Some I've wished I've kept in touch with.
Sure.
But people who have had an impact on this college by the work they do, traveling and recruiting and interviewing and reading applications nights and weekends and open on Saturdays and fighting and advocating for students in our admission committee. And then we finally get to admit them and celebrate them. And so that's the period we're in now.
Yeah.
And I've been in admissions more than 35 years and do it at 20 Hamilton, and that doesn't get old.
Sure.
So it's a high to admit students. The hardest part of our job, I'll say, before we leave this topic, is not admitting students.
Of course, sure.
And we never, ever want to take that for granted. This year we admitted 13% of our applicants. Last year it was 12%. The year before it was 14%. The year before that, 18%. When I got here, it was like 40-something%. But being more selective does not mean being more arrogant. If anything, it's the opposite. It's humbling to admit these amazing students, and the hardest part is figuring out who not to take. And we're grateful for all of our applicants, including the ones that aren't successful in our process, because they included Hamilton on their journey.
Yep.
They trusted us with their application and their essays and their secrets and their candidacy, and we try to honor that even when we can't, when it doesn't result in an offer of admission. So that's where we are now. By May 1, we hope to have the right number of students. I'm looking at you, because we've been working together on making sure we have enough beds and pillows for all the people who are going to be here in the fall, and that is its own whole topic and podcast.
Indeed.
But we're on that, and that's the now.
Sure. Yeah, that's good.
And lots of people are working really hard on that. And I just got to give a shout out to the admission team, the financial aid team, because they're like the little engine they could, and they're looking down the train track at next year, and they're managing a financial aid scene that is more challenging this year than most, and grappling with a Supreme Court decision.
Absolutely.
And we're a little bit down in staff right now. We'll rebound from that, but they stay positive, and they're representing the college to the rest of the world, and they're doing it really well.
Yeah, that's good. Agreed. Now, one aspect of your work that I have, so you described yourself early in your time at Hamilton maybe consistently as hungry. I would describe you as a force of nature, and I mean that in the best way possible.
It can be taken a couple of
Yeah, days, but so. I mean it in the best way possible. And I'm just curious, from somebody who is such an important player in the decisions the college makes as a senior staff member, what are some of the things that you look at the college today and you're like, I'm really grateful that we are in this position to do some of these things?
So many things. I think the leadership, the two presidents that we hired were right for Hamilton at those times.
Yeah.
Joan Stewart, we talked a lot about her presidency. David Whitman, gosh, who knew we were going to have to grapple with COVID?
Sure. Oh, my goodness, right.
To have a president who put his arms around this place and took care of us and carried us on his back and was clear-headed, no drama, intentional, cautious when he needed to be cautious, and a risk-taker when he needed to be a risk-taker. A lawyer helped.
Yes, sure.
He was the right president for those 8 years.
Yeah.
And every decision we made was not perfect. And,
sure.
You know, we had a very stable senior staff. Recently, we've had more turnover. And I actually see that that's been rejuvenated. Being stable was great. Having people who'd been here so long, like me and some more than me, that stability gave us credibility with our faculty, with our board, with our students, with our staff, and in our community to raise money, to do the right thing, to take risks. Having turnover in senior staff gives us rejuvenation, new ideas, and the chance to change and see that there are new ways to do things. So I appreciate both. The many buildings that were erected
while
I was here. I think my first 12 years, our first 12 years, there's a new building every year.
Right, we're sitting in one.
Yes, exactly. And the KTSA building, my building in admissions, the science building, KJ, Sadoff Student Center, Blood Fitness Center.
The Health and Counseling Center.
Right, it just like Johnson Morris House.
Yep.
So many facilities that needed attention. The programs were great. The students were great, but we didn't always have the facilities to support them. And I think now we do. We need to work on our residence halls, and we have a plan for that.
Yep.
And there's always a plan for the next shiny thing. But we've done a lot of those things. We've been a leader with our commitment to financial aid and access. We have maintained an open curriculum, which has been a differentiator and has attracted really strong, smart students who are purposeful.
I think
not always just looking to be told what to do. And so we've done better in athletics. We've built our arts programs. We've done so much that I'm proud of. And I just think the whole community has pulled together to make Hamilton an even better Hamilton.
Agreed. I've been fortunate because I have seen the same kind of changes that you have. And I've, as my career has advanced, I've had the opportunity to engage with more alumni, and some of whom I know from now quite a few years ago at this point, that experienced a different version of Hamilton trustees at times, and the amount that they're blown away. I know from where I sit, we have students now that will say, well, I wish it were more diverse, or I wish it were this, and I hear other people who experienced Hamilton in different eras that say, isn't it amazing, right? And it's all a matter of perspective, and we're always going to work to be the best Hamilton that we can be, but there's a lot of evidence that we've made a lot of progress along that path.
Yeah. Isn't it great to have, I have to remind myself this, but how great it is to have students who aren't content.
Sure.
Who want us to be better.
Yes.
They don't really care what we were 8 years ago or 4 years ago, because that wasn't their Hamilton.
Right.
They care about where we are now.
I agree.
And where we're going to be in the future. And they keep us fresh. They
yes,
keep
they
us
do.
On our toes. And some of them more than others.
Sure.
But you know, where we go is really the key to our future.
Yeah.
And the world around us is changing all the time. We're more diverse. We should be. The country's more diverse.
Absolutely.
We have students from all over the world. We should. We
yes.
have the resources. We have the applicants. And
yeah.
so we need them to help challenge us. And colleges are these living places that evolve all the time. And 4 years, we have a whole new population of students. So it's kind of exciting and keeps us all fresh and on our toes.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean about the alumni on the other side. One of my favorite things I've gotten to do is officiate a wedding for two Hamilton graduates. Oh. And many of the folks, yes, attending the wedding were Hamiltonians. And so that was kind of satisfying and a full circle moment. But our graduates, I would say the enduring quality about Hamilton, whether it's the stories we hear from our trustees who were here a long time ago to recent decade to current students, is the sense of community.
Yeah.
The sense of place that is a home, mm-hmm, where people come together and learn from each other and leave a piece of their heart, yes, on this hilltop and take a piece of this hilltop with them, and they're connected to it. Maybe even more so sometimes after they graduate,
yeah,
because they realize what they had and are so grateful for this incredible experience.
Agreed. So that's a perfect segue to a question you don't want to answer. And that is, what do you see as your Hamilton legacy?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I haven't thought about that. Well, I'm just so proud of what we've done. I'm so proud to have been a part of Hamilton during the last 20 years and a piece of its history. I think I was here during a great time with, mm-hmm, great leadership. I'm not speaking about myself, my colleagues,
you can and
senior
and should,
staff,
but yes,
and others. And I don't know, someone told me you should leave the party while it's still fun.
That's good advice.
And so I thought, with David's news to retire, it was a good time for me to think of my own next chapter. And I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But I've been, you know, married to this place. My husband would say that too. And him,
sure,
all of these years and a job. I only know how to do this job one way, which is way too many hours of the week.
All
and,
in.
And I never have complained about that. I wouldn't. I choose it. It's the way I know how to be successful. There are people there's the smartest person in the room, but there's the person who works hardest. I'm in the latter category.
Oh,
and
I don't
like
know
the
about
little
that
engine that could, and we're going to figure it out and outsmart the competition and do things differently and learn from the data. And the thing about admissions is that each year you hit reset.
Yeah.
And a little bit like coaching, that nobody really cares what your record was last year because you get to do it all over again and you start over.
Yeah.
So it's incremental improvement, and you change with the students and the times and the challenges and the economy and the competition and everything else, that,
yeah,
all the constraints we have. But that takes energy.
Sure.
And I never want to be I feel like I still have the energy. I still have the hunt in me.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I will know when I don't.
Mm.
And I want to leave things in really great shape. And
yeah,
I see how great renewal can be for an institution. And so I think it's a good, and I think renewal could be good for me too.
Sure.
I don't know what it is yet, but I'm excited to have a little time to,
sure,
think about what challenges there are and opportunities for me after Hamilton. But I will still live in Clinton.
Good.
I will still be a donor. I'll,
yeah,
just be cheering from the sidelines instead of the front row, and I'm definitely going to stay involved and a big supporter of this college, which I love more than my own.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I, for what it's worth, when you're talked about in other spaces, your legacy is very, very evident in the way that Hamilton has changed, and much of which can be credited to you and the way you've led a wonderful team of people.
Thank you for saying that. But really, I always say admissions is a team sport. We can't do this without everybody across campus, lots of partnerships, lots of handoffs of students to people like you and your team. And you know, everybody's been in this with us and believed in it, and that's why we've been successful. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. You've had some spectacular staff through the years, and I'm sure many highs and lows in terms of looking back and gratitude, not just in the moment in time, but over the 20 years. Is there any more to be said than already has been?
Oh, I just would say, oh gosh, you know, when I was getting ready to announced that I was stepping down, I wanted to get to some of the people,
sure,
who had worked here and to let them know that this has been the opportunity of my lifetime, and they were part of that,
yeah,
and to thank them and to let them know from me instead of hearing it in some little news article or something else. And it was fun to reconnect with a lot of the tremendous people who worked on our admission and financial aid team, and to think about our current team as well.
Mm-hmm.
And to know they've gone off and done great things.
Yeah.
They contributed to the college's success and to my experience at Hamilton, but they made Hamilton possible for so many students.
Yeah.
And that's been a high for me, just to work with all these great people. And I count our current staff on that list. You know, my two right hands, John McLaughlin as Dean of Admission and yeah. Jan Schutzow as Executive Director of Financial Aid, they are tremendous.
Yeah.
And really good at what they do. And they're so good that it makes me feel okay about retiring. Like,
yeah.
I know these people will, you know, carry the torch and maybe do things better, too. So
yeah.
I'm excited about the future for them and for Hamilton.
So on that note, you know, we know who the next president will be. The search for the next VP of Enrollment Management is still underway. But what do you hope for the college? What are the things that in the visible years to come that you hope will happen in terms of the college's trajectory?
Well, I'll say that I've met Stephen Tepper
yeah.
in person and over Zoom, and I think the search committee chose very well.
Yeah.
He almost made me regret that I was retired. That's how excited he is. And
that's good.
I guess I didn't know who would be the best next president,
sure.
but when I met Stephen, I thought, that's it.
Sure.
He's creative, he's innovative, he thinks
yeah.
differently. He may be exactly what we need right now, and it's in the spirit of rejuvenation and renewal. I think he's going to take us to a new place, and I don't even know if we know what it is or if he knows what it is.
Sure.
But he's going to have ideas, uh-huh. and he's going to challenge us, and he's going to get us to think a little differently. That's my mm-hmm. sense, anyhow,
yep.
and that's exciting for Hamilton, and it's time for that. We've come out of a time mm-hmm. of being intentional and careful and raising money and supporting the things that the values we've had that have been enduring and I think will be enduring.
Yes.
But it's time to add some new tricks to the bag.
Sure.
And I think Stephen's the right type of leader to do that. I don't
yeah.
know what they are. But as I look forward, I hope we don't give up the things that make Hamilton Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
High on that list for me is never being arrogant.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to do what we do. We have tremendous resources. I do think we're one of the best colleges in the country, but I don't say that with arrogance. I say it with a lot of humility, actually, about the opportunity that we have to work here and to invite students to be here, and that we want to admit students who embrace that as well. That has been our goal. So when other people come to our campus, I've had heads of schools and guidance counselors and people who go around and visit all the college campuses, they'll come here and visit ours and say, your students are every bit as smart as any students I've ever seen anywhere.
Yep.
But they're nice.
Yeah. That is actually one of the most common things yeah. I've heard as well.
Yeah. So I hope that that's true after me and you know, 100 years from now.
Yeah. Agreed. So maybe it'll be a spoiler alert for whoever ultimately is hired to take your spot, but what are a couple of the things that you will highlight to that person that you'll want to make sure they know about Hamilton before you go, if you haven't already said it?
Oh, that's a tough one. Well, if David Whitman was still going to be the president, I could talk to the person about being a member of senior staff.
Sure.
I'd like to work for David, and, you know, that when David asks you things twice, he's no longer asking. Or, I don't know, some things I've learned along the way. But I can't pass that on, because I think the senior staff will take on a new personality
yep.
in response to who Stephen is and how
sure.
he wants to lead. So I won't be able to help in that way. With my own team, well, there's a couple secrets to our building
oh.
that I'll pass along.
Okay.
We moved into that building,
right.
and I know that space pretty well and help pick out the hinges and
uh-huh.
like to maintain it like it's my own home. So
yeah.
I want to pass that on along with the keys. But a lot about how to manage the team, how to work with the board, how to continue to make the things important, hopefully, that I do. And hopefully whomever we hire will want to take that torch from me
yeah.
and carry on the tradition and change some things.
Sure.
And I want to tell them, don't feel like you have to do things the way I did.
Yeah.
Because there are other ways to do things. One of the, it's great to be here 20 years, but mm-hmm. I think people think that the way to do admission is the way I do it because I've been here so long.
Sure.
But there are lots of ways to do this. And
yeah.
there's some, I'm sure I have some blind spots. And whomever we hire might too, but they may have different ones than I have, and
sure.
that's an opportunity. So I'm going to try to get out of the way a little and let them do their own thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll make sure that they manage the enrollment okay.
Please,
and
thank you.
Don't come in over.
Please and thank you.
But, you know, the budget folks would say don't come in under. And,
right.
And that is an art and a science.
Indeed.
There's a little bit to talk through there.
Yeah.
A lot of math to what we do and some models I've built over time. But, again, a lot of human connection and personal stuff.
Yeah. That's good. Now, is there any chance that after you retire from Hamilton that you join the acoustic musical group that your husband's a part of? Is it Steve and Monica
coming
your way in 2025?
That's very funny. Whatever, anybody who's heard me sing would really think that's funny. I probably won't be doing music. I will say that, you know, someone said to me, when you get ready to retire, think about what the first job is that you did or you wanted to do or the first job you had and maybe return to it.
Hmm.
So, like, get back to your roots a little bit, the thing that gave you joy. And
interesting.
So there's a couple things I did. One was, you know, I was a coach. I was a soccer coach.
Sure.
And I was pretty successful. And I thought, well, I'm getting a little too old to coach.
No way.
So the other thing is I worked at Wendy's.
Am I going to see you at the drive-thru Wendy's? Is that what you're going
to
say?
I was a crew leader. I used to wear this little pin that said SPARK, which stood for Smiling People Attract Regular Customers. And I was all about customer service.
Shocking.
And including making sure everything was fresh and the team and, you know, I don't know. There's a lot to it. And being inclusive, I think you could bring some stuff to a Wendy's.
I think Wendy's would be lucky to have you, but I think it would be pretty shocking if any of the Hamilton community cruised in to find you as the crew leader at the Wendy's.
Probably won't be it, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is yet, but I probably won't be a vice president at another college.
Yeah.
Because if I was going to do that, there's no place else I'd do it except here.
Yeah.
At Hamilton. So I'll do something else that's maybe a little less hours.
Yes.
And a little less pressure.
Sure.
But hopefully still a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds good. You can join Terry in her bakery situation.
Exactly. I know. I'm going to connect with her. We keep talking about it, but I don't have time.
Well, exactly.
But I will have time. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, our former vice president, Dean of Students, has kicked off a bakery endeavor, and maybe there could be an actual shop, and you could run the shop.
There you go. We'd be a good team.
You would be. You were a good team before. Why wouldn't you be
again?
She's
an inspiration.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. She's great. But so are you. Anything else that you want to make sure we cover while we're here together?
We've covered so much ground. One of the things we like to talk about is the lives we get to change.
Yeah.
And who have the opportunity to be at Hamilton. And if they didn't have that opportunity, who knows what their life would be. It'd probably be pretty great. But
sure.
We get to admit students, we get to give them financial aid, we get to change lives. But I like to remember that sometimes they change our lives, too.
100%.
And so many students that I'm better for knowing, alumni.
Yeah.
People who've helped me see the world differently, see my job differently, who I've learned from. And I'm incredibly grateful for all the students who have trusted us and come to Hamilton and made it a better place and made us better at what we do.
I completely agree. Well, that's a great way to end. Thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for everything you've done for Hamilton.
Thank you, Travis.